Good morning, everyone. Glad to have you with us this morning, and we're very grateful that a number of people who've been battling the colds and flus are with us today. Thank you. And we pray for those who are still struggling with it. I think all of us have been overwhelmed with the tragedy in Humboldt, Saskatchewan, where I believe it's 14 or maybe 15 people have passed away in a bus accident. These were all young men, hockey players, the coach, and a few other people as well. Canada is such a unique, large country, and yet we are a very close community. People from all over Canada are reaching out to Humboldt, and I think probably many of us have been praying for all the families, and we will continue to do that as well. We are delighted to have you with us. We've just been through a season of Good Friday and then Easter Sunday, and we're marching on toward what has sometimes been called the birthday of the church, Pentecost, and we'll begin that today. So I'm not trying to be overly dramatic this morning, but I do ask a question that carries with it a fair amount of emotion, I think, for all of us. And this is a question for all of us, whether you're a student or a middle-aged person like myself, or wherever you consider yourself. And that's this question. How many of us have experienced the death of a loved one? Just raise your hand. So that's just about all of us. Second question and last question. How many of us would love to see that loved one again? All of us. One of the reasons why we gather every single week and have communion is to remember that death is not the end. And we've been looking at, even from Good Friday, when the disciples couldn't grasp the idea that a Messiah would die. It was beyond them. And we looked in Mark chapter 8, Mark chapter 9, Mark chapter 10, that Jesus repeatedly told them, here's what's going to happen to me. It's what the prophets said years ago. It's what Moses said years ago. It's what the Psalms have said, that the chosen servant would come and give his life for all people. And they wrestled with that. They wouldn't believe it. They couldn't grasp such a thing. Their concept of a kingdom was a physical one. They believed that if Jesus did go away, he would come back and establish an earthly kingdom where Rome wouldn't control the world anymore, but Israel would. And Jesus said, that's not what kingdom is about. Kingdom is all about reaching out to others with love and forgiveness and grace and goodness, and to live a life, as is said in the Lord's Prayer, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, that was Good Friday. We move into Easter Sunday when he's raised again. But then this unique thing takes place. And it was so difficult for the disciples to grasp. I'm going to read in Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse 1 and going through verse 11. I think the strength of this, if there is strength, is to put ourselves in the feet, if you will, of the disciples. Still trying to wrestle with Jesus leaving, Jesus coming back, wrestling with what all that meant. And now we read Acts, which is written by Luke, who also tells us the story. He says this, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day that he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After Christ's suffering, he presented himself to them and gave them many convincing proofs that he was alive, which is an interesting concept. I'm right here. I'm standing in front of you. I'm alive. Touch me. I'm not a ghost. I'm not an apparition. Here I am. Give me something to eat. I want you to know that I'm alive. Gave them many proofs that as he was standing in front of them, he was alive. He died and he rose again, never to die again. Not as a ghost, but with a full body. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John the Baptist baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And this is where I would love to be there, because I'm wondering, what would their facial expressions be? I'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? What does that mean? They really don't need the Holy Spirit, they're thinking, because Jesus, you're right here. That's all we need. Don't leave again. So, verse 6, so when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? They couldn't get past that. You know, we want to be in power. And this is what Jesus said. It's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And after this, after he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? My response would be, well, wouldn't you? I mean, look, what's happening? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. And my response, I think their response is, well, when is that going to be? I hope that happens very, very soon. We've seen Jesus die. We've seen him come back to life. We've seen him with us. He's leaving. He's coming back. Let that happen right now. When is that going to happen? Have you ever asked that question? When is that going to happen? Well, some of us think of this when we think of Don McKenzie at his passing. He left us a wonderful legacy. We believe in the resurrection, that even though someone dies, we will see that person again. And now he's with the Lord in a powerful way. And I'm going to just kind of skip ahead of where we're going to move forward. We're going to move in the preaching series to Pentecost, the Holy Spirit living in us, and what does all of that mean, and so forth. But before we get there, I want to skip ahead a little bit over Pentecost and read this story about how this statement about death is not the end. Later, Paul will say, the last enemy to be destroyed is death, where there will be no more death, no more crying, no more pain. All those things will be wiped away, and all things will become new again. Can we wait for that? So here's this beautiful story that takes place after Pentecost. So Peter and John, they are reaching out, as Jesus said, and they're able to help people who are in a bad way. In chapter 3 of Acts, Peter heals a lame man, and people are amazed at all of this and want to know what this power is all about. And after all of this, here's what is said, Acts chapter 3, 17 through 21, says this. Now, brothers and sisters, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders, but this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Messiah would suffer. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. So I stop. This is what the angels said to the disciples after Jesus was raised, and Jesus was with the disciples for a while. The disciples are asking Jesus, when are you going to restore the kingdom? And Jesus says, that's not for us to know. This is for God to know. but I'm going to be leaving. And then he leaves again. And then the angels say, Jesus will come back. He will come back again. Some 40 days after that event, Pentecost happens. And a few days after this, this story happens, where all of a sudden, Peter and John and others are able to preach the gospel. And that proof of the preaching is that people are being healed. There's a new view of what it is in the world, that death is not always the end. So when is this Jesus coming back? So after Peter and John are able to do this miracle, he then says, until that happens, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah, that he may send the Messiah. How many of us can't wait to see the people we love who have gone, see them again? How many of us can't wait to see the Messiah come again? And it says, heaven must receive him, which it has, until the time comes for God to, and this is beautiful, restore everything. Restore everything. Everything being made new again. Everything. There's this thought in the scriptures from the Garden of Eden, this beautiful place, to a downfall, to moving toward a Messiah, to the Messiah coming, to the Messiah taking the pain and the sins of the world upon himself, to being raised again to say, death will happen, but it won't happen for me. I will show you that death is not the end forever. And that a new heaven and a new earth will be coming, called the restoration, the renewal, the liberation of all things, as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. And that's pretty much where we're going to go in this series. We will see our loved ones again, and we'll be part of everything that the scriptures have talked about. There's a message and there's a promise attached to this message. So at Pentecost, all the people just sort of come together waiting. And as they're waiting, the story of Christ is starting to come out more and more for people in sharing it. In Acts chapter 1, verses 12 to 14, this is also very interesting. So we're going back in Acts chapter 1 when Jesus is ascending into heaven, but one day we'll come back. And then it says in verse 12, then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. And when they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. And what's interesting is they didn't want to leave. Remember in Matthew's account, as Jesus is ascending, he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Remember, I will be with you always. Go and teach all nations. Good, good. We're staying right here. We're just going to stay right here. We saw you leave. You said you're coming back. You want us to go and preach to all nations? Yeah, okay. We're staying right here. We don't want to go anywhere. We've seen you leave. We've seen you come back. You left again. We're staying right here. We're going to wait for you to come back. And they join together constantly in prayer, and they don't want to leave. But life goes on. And some of these great witnesses, they themselves will pass away. Not meaning to be maudlin and all, but some of us, similar to Don McKenzie, may go and be with Jesus before Jesus comes back to be with us. And is that okay? It's okay. We just want to be where he is. We just want to be where those who have given themselves to Christ are. We just want to be with them. But until that time, we want to live our lives the way Jesus encouraged us to, reaching out to one another, to telling us it's not the end. Death is not the end. And I'm not sure how everybody feels about death. I know that's a really strange thing to say. Well, most of us would say we're not really a fan of it. But the reality is it's going to happen to all of us. But it's tragic. It's difficult when someone we love with all of our heart, even especially at a young age and really hasn't lived life long and they pass, it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking what's happened in Humboldt, Saskatchewan. It's heartbreaking every week, every day throughout the world when people who are just beginning to grab hold of life, they leave us. But that's not the end. And the scripture reminds us that death is not the end. And so we can read, and I wrap up this morning, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. When Paul writes this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, many people whom Paul loved in the Lord have died. In fact, Paul, not too many years after he writes this, he will die. And then a month or two after that, Peter is going to die. And out of the 12 apostles, they all will eventually die. And then John, probably being the last one, moves off to Patmos as a jail, if you will, on an island. And he gets this revelation. And he writes it. We're not sure that maybe he came back in the last book he wrote, might have been 3 John, but we're not exactly sure about that. But they're all gone. And it's been 2,000 years. And a lot of people have gone. But they're not afraid of it. Because of what Paul says. Death, it's been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? It breaks our souls apart sometimes when an unexpected death happens. It just knocks us to the core. And so many times we would say, please take me, not her, not this child, please. But Jesus reminds us, where, O death, is your victory? You're not going to have a victory. You may win some skirmishes, but you're not going to have a victory. Where, O death, is your sting? It's not eternal. The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory over life through our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. See, it's one thing to talk about coming to Christ, being baptized into Christ, living our life for Christ, and then not talk about death. Death is reality. And part of that reality is it's not to be feared because Christ is here with us. The Apostle Paul, I think, put it brilliantly. God takes us away from our body immediately with the Lord. Away from the body, present with the Lord. Away from our body, present with the Lord. I don't know what that's like, but we will someday. And this Easter Sunday is a reminder that death is not the end. This past Good Friday, it's not the end. And for those who were with us, I missed it for years, but I think it's profound. Paul does not claim victory at the resurrection. It's a good thing. He loves the resurrection, no doubt about it. In fact, Paul talks about the resurrection more than anybody I know in all the Bible. But that's not where Paul places the victory. He places the victory at the death of Christ. Because when Jesus died, he wasn't going to stay dead. He knew he wasn't going to stay dead. And so he writes in Colossians, and then he writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I determined to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. His death showed us the way to a new life and one that's available for all. So the encouragement today as we start to move forward with, we don't have to do this alone. God the Father, God the Son, and especially God the Holy Spirit is living inside us as we move in that direction. We can live a life that no matter when profound difficulties come, we can cry, we can mourn. It's a good thing to do. But remember, that's not the end. Death has been swallowed up in victory in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. So Father God, as we come to you today, we come with a variety of emotions and a variety of thoughts. We think of loved ones who died so young. And yet we still feel them in our souls because we know they're alive with you. That you put into each one of us life. And that even when that life isn't with us in bodily form anymore, we still feel their presence. We feel your presence. And that we're part of this long legacy of faith. From the day that you created Adam and Eve, right up until this present time, that you've never abandoned us, that you're always with us, that you welcome us to live with you forever. And as we do that here on the earth, that we demonstrate that love by being people of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and in sound thinking. Pray for each person today and each challenge that we face, that we give it to you, knowing that death is never the end, but that we have victory in you through Christ. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets Sunday mornings at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We have classes for all ages at 9:30, and the worship service begins at 10:30. You can subscribe to podcasts through Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music Store, or your favorite podcast app. Just search for Beamsville. All our past sermons and more information about our congregation are available at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.